Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
An older lady had come home from a Sunday night service. She was a church lady. Anybody remember when churches used to be like on Sunday night? Anybody remember? Anybody glad we don't do Sunday night? Yes, yes. And she came home, and she was a little elderly, but she walked in her home, and she knew that there was an intruder in there. And there was a robber, she could tell, and he was stealing her stuff, and she didn't know what to do. And so she said, "Stop, thief, Acts 2:38. Well, Acts 2:38 is a scripture that says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And to her surprise, he stopped what he was doing and just put his hands up. She called the police. Police came and got him. They're loading him in the police cruiser, and the officer was giving him a hard time. He said, "Man, what's your problem? All that old woman did was yell a scripture at you." He said, "Scripture?" She said she had an axe and 2:38s. This morning, I want to talk about an encounter that Jesus had after the resurrection. We don't get a lot after the resurrection, but I want to talk about it in the context of that believing is a choice. And so this is entitled, "The Choice to Believe." And I think a lot of times, even though the scripture said that we walk by faith and not by sight, I think a lot of times people are waiting for like a feeling of faith or this overwhelming sense of faith to rise up in them, and not realizing that believing is a choice. So we'll talk about that. And choices, choices can make a huge difference in our life. We make choices, and then choices make us. For example, marriage. This past Thursday, Joy and I celebrated our 43rd wedding anniversary and so we had a great day. We gave the staff off, so the church was closed, and we just went for a drive and went to Sonic and got a lemonade. And that's like, when you've been married as long as we have, it doesn't take much. And so you just I did take her to a nice dinner. Don't write me an email. And so we were talking about our life together and how some of the years had been difficult. And we almost did not get married. We were so, so different. I was a Southern fraternity rat boy, frat guy. And she was kind of a hippie chick. And when I met Joy, she was all hippie free, kind of like, this was the 80s people. The hippies had not quite died out yet. And so she was just all free. We were driving. She came up to visit me. We're driving up to our shore where I went to college. And she looked over at me and she said, "Alan, wouldn't you just love to go running through the fields with Jesus?" I went, "What? What? Running through the fields with Jesus?" I'm like, "No, I don't want to go running through the fields with Jesus." Don't ever ask a man if he wants to go running through the fields with Jesus. And we begin to realize that we were just so different. And you know what? We still are. But what makes marriage difficult is that when you get married, especially, you bring differences and you bring damages. Now, the difference is, if you'll stay married long enough, the differences can become a great strength of the union. But the damages, bringing that in, is everyone comes with some damage. And maybe from your childhood, growing up, experiences that you've had, everybody brings some damages to the table. That's one of the wonderful things about being a believer. If you will trust God, if you will stay with Him, He can repair the damage in your life and your union can become strong. And so it's over the years, Joy felt like initially that she said, I just felt for a long time. She grew up Catholic. She said, "I really felt like I was having to do penance married to you, that I had done something wrong." But I can tell you this. We look at each other now and go, "I'd do it again. I would do it again." And so it's not how you start. It's how you finish. And so just keep that in mind. Some of you stay with it, because damage can be repaired. and things can get better. So we make choices on who or if to marry. We make choices on career decisions, on college. Now people are deciding, do I want to go to college online? Do I even want to go to college? Do I want to pick up any college debt? Do I just want to take on a vocation? Do I want to go to the military? A lot of choices. And those choices impact our lives. And then family choices. We had Matthew, we had his sister Christina, boy, girl. I thought, okay, we're done. And we were about to flip the coin to see who got fixed. It was about to wind up on me. And we prayed. And we just felt, no, we've got one more. And so here comes Michael, who's now our youth pastor. And so that was a good call. His older brother and sister did not like it. They still refer to themselves as the original two, and he was an intruder. But it changed the dynamic of the family. Choices change things. Choices make a difference. But you know, God gives choices. He always has given his people choices. When Moses was speaking to the nation of Israel after he had led them out of Egypt, he began to talk to them about God's ways and God's covenant and doing things his way, or you don't have to do things his way. And this is how he phrased it. He said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. And so God is telling them, look, he said, I've got a ways to go. I've got a ways that you can live, or you can choose to not go that way. He said, one of them leads to life. The other one leads to death. He said, you choose. Then he gives us a hint, choose life. Choose the good way. He said, it'll impact you. It'll impact your family, and it will. And so there's a choice. One of the first choices you'll ever make is one, do I believe in God? Number two, what do I believe about his son? Do I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins? And you know, you don't have to be in a church to do it. I was walking across a grassy area in Carbondale, Illinois, between my freshman and sophomore year. I was selling books, and I was in Carbondale, and I felt very vulnerable. And I walked across the field, and I just prayed as I walked. And I said, Jesus, I know you're there. I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. So I got born again. And just walking across a grassy area, not in a church. Next home I knocked on, a lady brought me in. I showed her what I was selling. She didn't want it. She said, can I share something with you? And she witnessed to me, said, would you like to pray? I went, sure. I know to this day this woman feels like that was the easiest person she ever witnessed to. But I prayed with her, and that began things. But it was a choice, and you make choices. And God still gives choices. He gives choices on, are you going to believe in him? Are you going to believe in his son? And after you do that, the choices don't stop. Are you going to go his way? Are you going to believe what he says about you? And so we always have choices to believe. I want to talk about a guy this morning who had a choice, made the wrong choice. He adjusted. Thank God he adjusted. But I want you to see the dynamics of this. And the story is of Thomas. He's known as Doubting Thomas, but for this morning, for the context of this message, we're going to call him Choosing Thomas. So let's look here in John. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Check that word, I will not. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here, and look at my hands. And reach your hand here, and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. There's a great message right here. And there's a great lesson. Thomas had reasons to believe. He had reasons to believe. Well, first, there were scriptures that talk about, in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, talk about Jesus rising from the dead. They were prophetic scriptures that Jesus had found, and actually, he knew them. At this point, the scriptures were way beyond these guys. They didn't get it. But Jesus had told them himself. They were his words. He had told them himself over and over. He said, I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to be crucified by sinful men. On the third day, I will rise again. In fact, they even had a debate one time as what rising from the dead meant. So Jesus had already told them, I'm going to rise from the dead, guys. They're going to crucify me. They're going to reject me. I'm going to rise from the dead. He told multiple times. So they had his words. Thomas could have believed those. He could have believed the witnesses. There were witnesses that saw the Lord. The ladies at the tomb, Mary Magdalene, she was one of the first ones to see Jesus. Jesus sent her back. She told everyone, I've seen him. He's alive. Some of them didn't believe her. But then Jesus appears to his disciples and they see him. And so they're excited. They're like, this is so cool, Thomas. Thomas, when they see Thomas, like, Thomas, you missed it, man. He was there. Jesus showed up. We saw him, man. We put our fingers in his side. It was Jesus. He is alive. And Thomas is like, no. Thomas said, no. He said, until I can put my finger in the hole, until I put my hand into his side, he said, I will not believe. How many know there's a difference between I will not and I cannot? I will not is a choice. He said, no, I'm not going to believe it. And I'm sure these guys are looking at Thomas going, Thomas, look, bro, you know me. I'm your buddy. We have walked together. We have done stuff together. There had to be one of the disciples that he was divided up with. Thomas, come on, man, you know me. You think I would lie to you? No, I will not. And he made a choice. He just refused to believe, even though all his buddies, and they're, can you imagine, for 8 days, they're excited, they're pumped up. Man, Jesus is alive, this is great. Jesus is back from the dead, Thomas is like. And then Jesus showed up. I think Jesus has a sense of humor. Well, I know God has a sense of humor. The devil did not come up with a sense of humor. And so Jesus had to have a sense of humor because he waits till the doors are shut and then he stands in the middle of them and go, bam, hey, y'all, peace, because they're all freaking out. So, you know, he's like, here I am. And he looks at Thomas and he calls him. He calls him out and says, Thomas, come here. So put your hands here. Put your finger here. Put your hand in my side. Now listen, he never looked at Thomas and said, Thomas, bless your heart. You're a little bit negative. I know you're negative. No, the only other time we see Thomas is in the book of John when Jesus said, I'm going back to Jerusalem. And all the disciples said, hey, Jesus, they're trying to kill you in Jerusalem. And you're going back there. Thomas said, let's go that we can die with him also. So Thomas was already just a little bit of a negative guy. And Jesus didn't look at him and said, Thomas, bless your heart. I know you couldn't believe. He didn't say that. He never alluded to that. He never said, Thomas, I know this. You can't believe, Thomas. You don't have the ability. In fact, if that would have been unfair if he'd have said to Thomas, I know you can't, Thomas, and so I'm going to help you out here. He said, Thomas, come here. He said, put your hands here. Put your fingers here. He said, and don't be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas, I don't know if he put his hands there. Thomas made a quick adjustment, a wise choice. He said, my Lord and my God. That was a good call. Aren't you glad you can make adjustments? Doesn't matter how you start, matters how you finish. So Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, he said, you have seen me and you believe. He said, blessed. The blessed ones are the ones who have not seen and yet have believed. And that establishes something for us. Most of us have not seen any visions of Jesus. We have not seen anything about Jesus. We heard a message. We heard someone share. We saw a life. And we decided without seeing Jesus, we believe. And we're the ones who were blessed. And so Thomas, Jesus is talking to him. I don't believe he was trying to embarrass him. I believe he was trying to help him. Thomas, he said, blessed, happy are the ones who have not seen and yet believe. Now, here's the good news about Thomas. Thomas made an adjustment. Thomas went down to India, and history tells us he did an outstanding work in India. In fact, there's a lot of Indians that took on the name Thomas because of his work did there. Aren't you glad it's not how you start, it's how you finish? And Thomas made an adjustment. So when you see him in heaven, do not call him Doubting Thomas. Say, hey, man, my pastor calls you Choosing Thomas, and he's going to think that's a lot better. That's a better idea because Thomas made a choice. Choose to believe, choose not to. So let's talk about your choice. Because again, people think, I can't, I can't help myself, or I can't believe this. If you understand that faith is a choice, it'll help you. So let's talk about your choice. Here's the first one. You have reasons to believe. You have reasons to believe. Let me give you three of them. First one is, there are messengers. There are people that God has called and given equipment to. He's given them a gifting to preach and to teach God's word, and they become messengers proclaiming the good news. Most of us are familiar with one of the most famous evangelists of our day, Billy Graham. Billy Graham said that for years he would just pray and study. He said, but I have a gift. It's from the Holy Spirit that when I stand up and speak, that people make decisions. That's an evangelist gift. He said, I've never given an invitation one time when someone has not come. That's a gifting. As a pastor, that's my gifting. My gifting from the Lord is to proclaim it and to teach it. Now, here's something you think. You think I have an advantage to live it. I do not. I only have an advantage to preach it and to teach it. And so you and I are on the same level. When we go to pray, I do not come as Pastor Allen. Lord, it's Pastor Allen, and you have to come as you. Nope. I come in Jesus' name, same name you get to come in, and you get accepted just like I get accepted. Y'all should be happier about that. That it's not just the pastor is way up here and I'm way down here. Doesn't work that way with God. When you receive Jesus, it goes level. And so you get to receive Him. So you have messengers. You have witnesses. There are people who are in your life or people you have seen who you would tell God has done something in their life. God has moved in their life. Maybe these are relatives or people who have prayed for you. Listen, in this church right now today, there are people all over this church who've been healed from cancer, whose marriages have been put back together, who've come off addictions, who've come out of depression, who've come out of horrible situations. There are witnesses. And you look at them, you look at their lives and you go, boy, I know that wasn't you. God did that. And that's exactly right. And you can recognize that God does some amazing things. And so these people are reasons. My mother was a wonder. She's in heaven now, but she prayed for me. She prayed a lot for me. And she was on it. And she had experiences with God that was a witness to me that I knew God was real. I knew He still did powerful things. I knew He still changed lives. I appreciate the witnesses. Many of us have witnesses in our life, but it's a reason to believe. And then here's the big one. Biggest reason we have to believe is we have God's written word. Now, when John wrote this account about Thomas, this is how he finished it. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Did you catch that? It says, these are written that you may believe. The Bible is written so that we can believe. So it gives us something to believe. And we read this and we believe, okay, we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But listen, if it's written about Jesus so we can believe in Him, then all these other things are written in the Bible that we may believe as well. So here's the good news. Now, I want to talk about something this morning. I just want to give a practical example. I talk to people a lot of times who just carry a real strong sense of guilt and shame. And they just feel like, I'm not forgiven, I've messed up. Has anybody messed up since they became a Christian? Has anybody messed up since you've become a Christian? That's me. And that would be you if you're honest. All of us have missed it. Well, and you think, well, not Joy. Joy too. But here's the thing. What do we do about that? See, a lot of times people just feel, oh, I missed it. Oh, man, I miss God. I feel bad. I sinned. I feel bad. Now, what happens if you're not careful? The enemy will use that to drive you away from God, away from church, away from the very things that can help you. Or you can do this. You can find a scripture. Let me read one to you. It's actually a favorite one. I don't even have to read it. I know this one. It's 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you hear that? Listen, if we confess our sins. So when you come to God and go, man, I'm sorry. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Listen, that's not when He finds out about it. He doesn't go. That's when you get rid of it. That's when he forgives you. He is faithful and just. So we read this, and this gives us faith. I can go to God when I have missed it. I can go to God when I've messed up, and he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. He forgives me, and he cleanses me of all unrighteousness. My oldest son, Matthew, was my outside child. He loved to run through the mud, the muck, and the sewers. He would run through the sewers. Sometimes he would come to the house, and I would look at him. He's covered. He looks nasty. I don't look at him and go, I disown you. You are not my son. You must come from your mother's side of the family because you're not mine. I don't do that. I look at him and go, son, we got to clean you up. Go ahead, strip down. So he's been in the backyard with his underwear, and I've had a hose like just cleansing him off of all the mud and the sewer stuff that's on him. He's still my son. I still love him. He still needs to be cleaned up. When you come to God and say, Lord, I am sorry I missed it, he does not disown you. He does not kick you out of his kingdom. He forgives you, and then he cleanses you of all unrighteousness. See, that's good news. And you just simply have to believe that and act on that. So let's talk a little bit about making a choice. How do we do that? How do we make those choices? Here's the first one. Don't wait. You know, Thomas waited 8 days. 8 days in the dark before he believed in Jesus. Don't wait for a sign, for a feeling. Oh, don't wait for a feeling. Don't wait to see something. Remember, Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So we don't have to see something or feel something to believe it. We can believe. Now, we're so used to feelings. In the 70s, they wrote songs about it. Feelings. Whoa, 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 feelings. Feelings of you in my life. Feelings. I mean, yeah, we're all like, yeah, feelings. And people ask us all the time, how do you feel about this? How do you feel? How do you feel? We've gotten so accustomed to that we think that if we don't have a feeling, it hasn't happened. And yet that's not the truth. Blessed are those who believe without a feeling. Blessed are those who believe without having to see something. So let me go back to this verse here. So I pray and I say, Lord, I'm sorry I missed it, but I thank you that you forgive me and cleanse me, and then thank him for it without waiting for a feeling. See, so much of the time, I know people have been raised, maybe you're raised in a home where if you messed up, maybe your parents didn't talk to you for a while. Maybe they gave you the cold shoulder. Maybe you're living with somebody that you messed up. You get the silent treatment. God does not give the silent treatment. We confess our sins. He is faithful. He is just. He forgives us and cleanses us. And whether you have any feelings or not, don't go by feelings. Just go by, thank you, Lord, I am forgiven. Now, here's the good news. If you'll take that step of faith, your feelings will follow. So we're so accustomed to being led by feelings. Don't be led by feelings. Say, Lord, I see this in your word. You said this. You said you forgave me. I thank you that I am forgiven. And whether you feel like it or not, just thank God you're forgiven. I promise you, feelings will follow. And you'll feel like, okay, I'm in better shape now. You don't have to wait. Don't wait to see. Don't wait to feel. Just go ahead and make the step of believing to come to a place of knowing. That's the first one. Here's the second one is, use your words to speak what you believe. Now, this is something that's really different for us because we typically don't speak what we believe. We typically speak what we feel, but yet the Bible says something different. It gives us different instructions. Remember, God said, I'm going to set before you a different way of living. Here's life over here. Here's death over here. Choose this way. It's God's way. So let me show you a scripture. It's a wonderful scripture. It said, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and we also speak. Now, we all know that we're accustomed to talking about how we feel. And we're quick to go negative. You ever notice that? Hey, man, how are you doing? Oh, man, it's not bad. What's wrong, man? I feel bad today. I just feel this way. I feel that way. I just feel this way. It's a bad day. It's a horrible day. And most of us go, yeah, yeah, that's right. It is pretty bad. Things are bad. Oh, yeah, they're bad. Things are getting worse. Oh, yeah, they're getting worse. And we just, If you say that, I've often said, standing in the post office line at Christmas time, you're standing there to mail something, you want to clear a crowd, just go, "Aren't you glad we live in America? We got a great postal system." They will just part the ways for you. You walk right to the front, because everyone's like, "Oh, it's horrible. Oh, it's filled." We've talked so much about what we feel that we're not accustomed to speaking what we believe. And so speaking what we believe, listen, we got a whole Bible that tells us that we're new creations in Christ. It tells us that we're head, not the tail, that we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It tells us that we're forgiven. It tells us that God has a good plan for us. Why don't we speak that instead of speaking the negative things? And we can speak what we believe. Joy, when she was so sick, oh goodness, I watched her crawl up the steps and people would, and she was green. This was 30 years ago. She was green. She had acute chronic pancreatitis. And people would say, "How are you doing?" And she'd say, "I'm strong. Thank you. I'm strong." She wasn't speaking how she looked. She wasn't speaking what it felt like. She was speaking what she believed. It got to the point where people said, "I'm going to stop asking you how you're feeling, because I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, 'I'm strong.'" Well, wouldn't you rather hear that than hear something on the negative side? And 30 years later, she's still strong and still doing well. We need to speak what we believe. And we got a whole book here. I'm just telling you, it'll help you. Don't look at your family and go, "Dear God, they're all going to hell." That is not helping them. Why don't you look at your family and go, "I believe God's got a purpose and plan for every one of you. I believe this family is going to serve God all the days of our life. I believe there's a great plan for us." If we got a choice what we can say, why don't we say what God said? We're not making stuff up. We're not trying to speak something into manifestation. We're just agreeing with what God has already said. It's different. Here's the last one. Believing levels up your happiness. You'll level up your happiness. Jesus said, "Blessed, happy are those that have not seen and yet they believe." I'm telling you, believing will make you a happier person. Did you know that there is a World Happiness Report? It's a company that does a statistical analysis of Gallup poll data over 143 countries. Over 143, they poll them on this data: gross domestic product per capita, social support, healthy life expectancy, freedom to make our own life choices, generosity of the general population, perception of internal and external corruption levels. Those are the criteria that Gallup uses to determine who are the happiest countries in the world. You know who the happiest country in the world? You were in the first service. No. Your family, you don't count. Okay, who is the happiest country? No. Finland. He's right. Finland. Followed by Denmark. Followed by Iceland. Followed by Sweden. Obviously, this weather was not on the list of things that they looked at. Israel was number 5. Netherlands, number 6. Norway, number 7. Do you know where the U.S. was? 23rd. 23rd. Behind the U.K. Behind Slovenia. Behind the United Arab Emirates. So I look at this kind of stuff and I'm going to go, well, you know, if they didn't ask some of us, they didn't ask some of us who have dual citizenship. So I have dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and I'm a citizen of heaven. Bible says so. I'm going to take my citizenship. Oh, by the way, you know who the lowest is? Afghanistan. But look, Peter, 2 Peter, 1 Peter, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. He's talking about Jesus. But you can actually, the word "him" there is in the New King James, and King James is in italics, meaning the translators added it for clarity. So you could say, though now you do not see, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Guys, that's us. That's those of us who've made Jesus our Lord, who are part of a different kingdom. And other people may be totally bound by what they see. We see something else. We have a different reason for joy. We know who loves us. We know we've got a Savior. We know we have the Holy Spirit who helps us. We know we got a God who cares about us. And so we don't have to look at everything we see and go, "Oh, we're not happy. We're not happy." We can look over here and go, "Man, I'll tell you what, I got help now, and I got help for the future. I got help for eternity. I got a reason to be happier than to be, well, I got dual citizenship. I'm happy. I'm a lot happier." And you'll find that what you believe can really determine your joy level. More we believe, happier we are. It starts with believing that Jesus is the Son of God and believing that He died for our sins. That's where it starts. Man, that's enough to make us happy. And that is enough to sustain us for now throughout eternity, but there's so much else. But you got to start there. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, we're going to say a simple prayer. But if you're out there or you're watching online, you say, "You know what, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure that I do. I'm just not sure where I stand in terms of where I stand in my salvation." Or maybe you're like I was and you made that decision and you got away from God. And you're sitting here today, or you're watching online, you're going, "You know what, I've been away from God for a long time, and I don't want to live there. I want to come back." Good news is He will take you back. The good news is if you've never made Jesus your Lord, you don't have to clean your life up. You don't have to get everything straightened out. You just come to Him and let Him do the work. So His heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. If that's you today and you say, "Alan, would you pray for me? I want to be sure where I stand with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him," would you shoot your hand up real quick across this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Anybody else just say, "Alan, would you pray for me?" Thank you. Obviously, I can't see you online, so we're going to pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're going to pray this prayer. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray here with you as a church family. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You." Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer to come out of spiritual darkness into the light and the prayer to come back home. Thank You, Father. You make new creations out of us. And so for that, we rejoice. We are so glad. We're going to be rejoicing about that for eternity. Thank You. And for those of us who know You, for those of us who've walked with You, thank You that we don't have to walk by how we feel and see. We can walk with You and walk by Your word. We can walk by faith and not by sight, and we can rejoice all the way there. We give You all the praise for what You're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.